Simon Potzka. He's on the line with us. Simon, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Now, I see that there's been an academic who's not being so academic about the history of the Temple Mount this week.
Yes, it's one of those things, you know, Pesach has fallen the same week as Easter, and all of a sudden all these strange religious things start happening in the media, and this is one of them. And this appeared in The Guardian this week. An academic by the name of Mick Dumper, a bit of a strange name, he has written about, it's a very bizarre case, because he claims that Bibi Netanyahu has got the Islamic holy sites of Jerusalem in his line of fire, and that he's a politician about to go rogue. Now, we can discuss that, but one of the main problems with this piece is he talks about a particular flashpoint being the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and he says, known as the Haram al-Sharif. Fair enough, that's the Arabic name for the Temple Mount, which he doesn't mention anywhere in the article at all. And we see the reason for this, because he then claims that there are increasing demands from some Jews for greater access and rights on the site. And he says these are driven by the, and I quote here, the increasingly strident claim that the Al-Aqsa Mosque and other Islamic sites in the Haram al-Sharif were built upon the ruins of Solomon's temple. So read that back again. Apparently, the fact that there was a Jewish temple there is simply an increasingly strident claim.
Yeah, it's very bizarre, especially, you know, the Guardian obviously does have a bit of a bias. It is a bit of a left-leaning publication, but you would expect that they would do some fact-checking before they put something like that out.
Well, to be perfectly honest, I don't actually expect them to do fact-checking anymore, such as my level of disdain towards them these days. But, you know, clearly this guy is not an academic when it comes to history or archaeology. You know, this is a fact. You know, some people would say that there's less archaeological evidence for Solomon's temple, which was the first temple. But the simple fact is there's plenty of it for a second temple. So there's no way that this is a claim that there was a temple there. You know, this is a fact. And I've written to The Guardian. I've asked them to make some sort of correction here, because I don't think this should be allowed to stand.
Yeah, absolutely. It's basically a disappearing of history, which perhaps, Simon, is only slightly as bad as a complete reappropriation of history, which is what your second story is. Should we call it the Palestinianization of Jesus?
Yes, another quite remarkable piece this week. A former New York Times writer, magazine editor by the name of Eric Kopage, he has written a piece for Easter. As a black child in Los Angeles, I couldn't understand why Jesus had blue eyes. Now, fair enough. I don't think we have to have any issue with people wondering about, you know, what color was Jesus? Did he have blue eyes, or was he, you know, a white guy? But I think we can all agree historically that Jesus was Jewish. However, and wait for it, this guy in this piece describes him as likely a Palestinian man. Hello? He may very well have been, dark-skinned, but the simple fact was this was a Jewish guy living in the time of Judah.
Judea, yeah.
And
the word Palestine wouldn't even have been around at that point.
No, it certainly wasn't. Certainly Jesus would not have identified himself as a Palestinian, because there was no such thing as a Palestinian back then. Just to go over the history of that region, Palestine is not even mentioned once in the New Testament, and the region was renamed Palestina after the Philistines by the Romans after the sacking of the Second Temple in the year 70 CE, in the second century. So, unbelievably, you know, this is another attempt to erase Judaism from Israel, from the Holy Land.
Yeah, absolutely. Quite remarkable. Simon, are you able to do anything when it comes to these sorts of op-ed pieces?
Well, op-eds are a bit more difficult to get results on, but the fact is that, you know, opinion writers are entitled to their opinions.
they're not entitled to make up facts. And the best we can do is expose this. I think it embarrasses the writers, and it embarrasses the media outlets such as the New York Times that give these people a platform, because, you know, there should be standards, and we're going to hold the media to certain standards. And rewriting history and promoting, you know, false facts, if you will, is definitely not on. And we're going to see what we can do about getting both the Guardian and the New York Times in these cases that we discussed to make some amendments to their articles.
Well, that's great. I hope that they do, in fact, take that to heart and make sure that they are giving the correct facts to people. Simon, thank you so much for joining us, and please do keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
There we go, Simon Plotka there, Honest Reporting, telling us the craziness that sometimes is our media scene. And now let's check out the traffic with Zanati.